Good evening and welcome to tonight's Pastors Roundtable. I have with me our guest, Aaron Overcash. Now, Aaron, you are heading into your junior year, right, at Pensacola Christian College, and your major is going to be youth ministries. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Aaron has actually had the opportunity to intern at our church this summer, and he's been working mostly with children. We've had some teens helping with our day camp, and you've been assisting the teens. They've been CITs. You had an all-nighter, you and Paul Bennett. But a lot of your experience this summer has been children, although you have helped with our music ministry and other things. And Aaron is hoping to, as he graduates, to get into a ministry full-time, I believe working as a youth pastor, Aaron, and going from there wherever God leads you, right?
Yes, sir. That's the goal.
Okay.
That's the desire.
So last 3 weeks, my wife and I were having a conversation about marriage, and then it led to marriage with children and then marriage with teenagers. And I just felt like the next conversation that needed to be had was, what happens when teenagers are ready to go to college, right? At that point, parents kind of have done almost everything they can do. There's a few more things parents can do, and we'll talk about that. But really, the rest is in the hands and on the shoulders of that teenager as they're making their final decisions towards college. What college are they going to go to? What career choice are they going to make? Are they going to do it in town? Are they going to be across the country? What's their plans, short-term, long-term, financial? Are they taking out a loan? Are they going to work their way through college? So many choices have to be made. And Aaron, have you noticed a lot of these choices you've made are choices that will literally follow you the rest of your life?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of choices I've made that I see now that will follow me.
I mean, 20 years from now, future marriage, your future family will be impacted by choices Aaron Overcast made at 16, 17, and 18 years old.
I think that's why it's so important to make healthy choices now, because you never know what's going to happen down the road, how they're going to affect you and your possible family when you grow up.
That's well said. Unfortunately, Aaron, not a lot of teenagers think that way.
Yeah.
Now, how old are you, just for the record, for people watching?
22.
And you went to college when you were about 18, 19?
I went to college when I was 18, but I ended up transferring to Pensacola because the Lord called me to the ministry. So I ended up going to Pensacola when I was 20.
Okay. So you actually went to another college, started there, and then God laid on your heart a different direction. You transferred to a Bible college in order to follow that direction God gave you.
Yes, absolutely.
But again, decisions made by 18-year-old Aaron took you one direction. Then God redirected your heart, and fortunately you were humble and smart enough to follow that, and now here you are on track with what you would say is God's will for your life.
Yes, that is correct.
So here's where it comes down to, folks. For those of you watching online, if you have teenagers, get them in the room right now, because a lot of what we're going to be talking about is dealing directly with teenagers, not necessarily 12, 13-year-olds, but more 15, 16, especially 17, 18. And the big decisions they're making right now or will be making soon, and the impact those decisions are going to have, not just on them, but their children, their future generations, their local church. So many people, so many lives are affected by the choices being made in the end of a teen's young life, you could say, from like 17 to 20 years old. So how do we know what God wants for our teenagers? And so we're going to transfer from parent side to now teen side. Because as I said, when I started this roundtable, there's only so much more a parent can do once that child's heading to college. Hopefully everything you needed to do, you did. And you've set that teenager up for success. And now the teen has to start making their own choices. So how does a teenager take their next steps? And that's actually the title of our roundtable tonight, Aaron, our next steps. And how can they know that the next steps they are taking are toward God and not away from God? Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron and I, we talked briefly before tonight's roundtable just to kind of discuss some things. And Aaron, you've been having conversations with me all summer. You and Paul, we've been talking about a lot of things. And we've kind of talked about teenagers and life and choices and how to show love. And so I'm really excited to hear what Aaron has to say tonight. And I guarantee you, if you tune in and you stay on tonight, you are going to walk away with a lot of helpful information for you as a parent and for your teenagers if they're listening as well. Now, I would say as a pastor, the first step that a teenager needs to take when they're heading to that next stage of their life is really assurance of salvation. Because if they're not saved, or if they don't know that they're saved, then it's going to be really hard for them to take successful steps going from that point. If they're unsure of their salvation, you know, is church really important? I don't know if I'm saved anyways. And why go to a Bible college? Why prayerfully consider what God wants when I don't even know if I'm going to heaven? So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all to be saved. We're told in 1 John that we can know that we are saved, not just hope that we are saved. So I would say, teenagers, if you really want to know what God wants for you and you're thinking, well, God's not talking to me. God hasn't given me clear direction. God hasn't told me go to this college or do this career. Well, let's just start at step one for your next steps. Step one is gain assurance of your salvation. Talk with someone you love and trust who can give you scriptural evidence of salvation and say, well, this is what it is. This is what it's not. Have you done this? And by the way, salvation is only doing one thing, and that's really accepting Christ as Savior. Yeah. So once you've established that, the second step I'm going to let Aaron talk about is really one of the most important, aside from salvation, that you could possibly make. Now, you may be thinking, because I have Aaron here tonight, we're talking about next steps towards Bible ministry or Bible college. Now, for Aaron, that's where it ended. That's where his journey is taking him. That doesn't mean it's going to take you that way. Just because Aaron went to Bible college doesn't mean every young Christian should go to Pensacola Christian Bible College. Now, every young Christian does need to take this step, though, I believe, before they go to college. And Aaron, what is that step? What should they be doing?
Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
And then after that, what's really the next thing that they need to really do that's really important? We were talking about you did it.
Surrender your life to God. That is a huge part of your life. That doesn't have to be Bible college or ministry. You know, whether it's you're being a plumber or an electrician, you need to surrender your life to God in that ministry that he's called you to do.
When did that take place for you, Aaron, your actual surrender?
In summer of 2018. 2019.
And so that was after you were already at your other college.
So, yeah, I was at my other college, went to youth camp that summer, and the Lord just broke me and made me realize that I needed to surrender my life to him in full-time ministry. That was the ministry he called me to.
You know what's really great, Aaron? You're going to be able to give us a compare-contrast, so let's do that. Let's compare and contrast the way you made your decisions going into your first college and what that was looking like. And then we're going to contrast that to the way you made your decisions to where you're at now.
Okay.
So let's start with your first set of choices and how you got to that original college. What was your career choice? What were you doing? Why were you doing it? How did you get there?
I was pursuing art because I love art. I did it ever since I was young. I feel like, okay, the Lord gave me this talent, so I need to use it.
You are very talented.
Oh.
I've seen his stuff. He is a very talented artist.
And, you know, it's a God-given talent, but... You know, I said, oh, okay, I assumed that this is what God wanted me to do for my life. I didn't pray about it. I didn't ask God, is this what you want me to do for my life? I didn't search the scriptures for it. It was just, oh, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, I know this is what God wants for me. And then I went down my high school, and I just pursued money, pursued fame, and got into bad relationships, got into destructive relationships with other people, just people that I shouldn't have been around, art groups that I shouldn't have been around. And looking back, I see the destruction that it had in my life, just spiritually and physically and just all that. And so that's really how I pursued it, just of my own will.
Can I read between the lines?
Yeah.
You said a lot right there in just like a short paragraph.
Sure.
So you said your original choices dealt mostly with your career choice. You wanted to be an artist based off of an assumption that because I'm good at it, surely this is what I should do.
Yeah.
So because you made that decision, it automatically put you around certain people.
Right.
And automatically had you doing certain things that then led to other things that led to certain relationships.
That's right.
Dating, friendships, and otherwise.
Yeah.
That I would imagine it sounds like you regret some things that were done that you would say, I wish I had not done those things. Yes. I wish I had not known those people. I wish I had not been exposed to these certain things.
Mm-hmm.
All starting with, well, I'm going to be an artist, which is a simple enough and I would say even innocent enough thing to say, right? I mean, what parent would say to a kid, no, you can't be an artist. That's ungodly to be an artist. You know, that's not in the Bible. You can't be an artist. I mean, it's neither biblical nor unbiblical to be an artist. The issue was you did it outside of God's direction. You chose it for yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. And then that led to a lot of other things, you choosing for yourself.
Yep.
So what would be your suggestion, Aaron, to a teenager now? They say, well, I'm really good at... You know, fill in the blank. And so I'm going to pursue this. What would you tell them?
I would tell them, first of all, you need to consider the Lord. Consider his direction in your life. Pray about it. Say, Lord, is this what I want? Is this what you want me to do with my life? And then search the scriptures for it. Read your Bible. Just make sure it's a daily thing you're doing, because the Lord will speak to you as you continue to read the Bible and seek his direction. But that's the first step. You have to pray for it. You have to.
Hmm. they're not praying for it, they can't have really any guarantee that what they're doing is what God wants.
Well, that's right, because you're not considering him in any part of it.
But what would make a teenager even want to do what God wants? Because a lot of teens listening right now are probably sitting in their room because their parents said, oh, get in here, Pastor Russ said you should be here. And they're like, oh, Mom, I got to listen to this. I don't want to listen to this. They're probably not interested in what you're having to say. Yeah. So what is the one thing they need to do to even be interested in what God wants?
Well, you need to realize that the life you're going to have is going to be a fulfilled life, full of joy and spiritual relationships that you're going to have. You're going to be filled with spiritual relationships. It's not going to bring destruction in your life. It's not going to cause breaks in relationships, heartaches. The life followed by God and through God is a life of fulfillment, and I can be a testament to that.
That is awesome, Aaron. You said you could be a testament to that. Mm-hmm. Were you finding fulfillment that first time when you're heading to that college, whatever college it was?
Yeah, I thought I was. And then as it kept going and going, that fulfillment was temporary. And I think that's huge, too, is that the fulfillment God gives you is eternal, while the fulfillment the world will give you is temporary. And so it was temporary fulfillment and ended in destruction.
Teens, if you're listening right now and you haven't yet surrendered your will, which is what Aaron was talking about earlier, if you haven't surrendered your will and your life to God, then you probably have no interest to please God. And whatever interest you have is probably minor in their bigger interest to do what, Aaron? Please?
Themselves.
Please ourselves.
Yes.
And you kind of said that. You said, well, I'm a good artist, and it was what I wanted to do. Who were you really seeking to appease and to please and to make happy?
Myself. I was looking to get money, get fame, and that was it.
Okay. You know what the Bible says about our hearts? It's a famous passage, Jeremiah 17:9. It says something about our hearts, which I always try to remind, especially teenagers, because the world tells teens to do what? What's the phrase?
Follow your heart.
I mean, movies, TV, books, magazines, teachers, even Christian parents. Well, what do you want to do, Aaron? What is it that your heart wants for you? You know, it's interesting. The book of Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon, he talks about a life that was full of pain and suffering. He calls it vexation of spirit, vexation, just discouragement and agony of soul. And you know what he says he did during his life? He says, I followed my heart. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he said, whatever my heart wanted, I did. I followed my heart. And now as an old man in the book of Ecclesiastes, looking back at a life of following his heart, regret after regret after regret. His family fell apart. His kingdom fell apart. His life fell apart. And only when he was older did he recognize all the mistakes that he made. Our teens are being filled with lies and deception when they are told, follow your heart. Well, you're talented. This must be what you should do. Well, you have this ability. This has to be your career choice. And yet, it doesn't mean that God will never use your art, Aaron.
Absolutely.
But God will probably use it in ways you never thought possible at age 16.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen him just through college, you know, I've seen my art being used, you know, whether it's I made flyers for a event we had at college, you know, I designed flyers for it, things like that. You know, God will use it some way, somehow, but you have to do what God wants first.
How hard was it for you to finally get to that point of surrendering at age 20? I mean, that's no small thing. And what God was asking of you, Aaron, when you surrendered, you knew that that meant big changes and big choices. Not a lot of young guys would do that. How difficult was that for you?
That was one of the scariest things I've had to do. And it wasn't because I didn't trust God. It was just because I didn't know where he was leading and what he was doing. I didn't know how it would look because I had my whole life planned out. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this much money. I'm going to do this. And then he said, no, I want you to do this. So then I said, oh, well, where is he taking me? You know, how am I going to do this? Where do I even start? You know, and so that was the scariest part. It was just there's a whole transfer of mindset in my mind that I wanted to do this. Now it's God saying, nope, I want you to do this.
Now, it's not that a teenager or a young adult cannot surrender their will after 2021. You've proven, and many others have proven, that you can. Mm-hmm. But would you agree, Aaron, it's probably a whole lot easier for a 16-year-old to do it before they go to college?
Oh, yeah.
Rather than a 20-year-old after they went to college.
Because I was going to college for art. You know, I was trying to get a degree in it. And then, you know, the Lord said, nope, I want you to get a degree in this.
When I think of surrender, one of the passages that I think just stand out to me is found in the book of Romans. Do you know that passage?
Yep, Romans 12:1-2.
You want to read it for us?
Yes, sir. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. So when we surrender to God, it's not just for His sake and His glory, although that obviously will take place. God will be glorified. God's kingdom will be furthered when more Christians surrender to Him. But who else benefits from surrendering to God?
We do.
I believe so as well.
No, definitely.
We do benefit from surrendering to God. And you actually said it, Aaron. You said that true fulfillment, lasting fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
now that you've surrendered to God, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
So you had a couple of years of 18 to about 20 living for yourself, doing what you wanted, even before that as a teenager. But, you know, as a young adult, kind of independent on your own.
Yep.
And now a couple of years on your own serving God.
Yeah.
Which one was easier to do?
Oh, definitely the one before.
All right. Surrendering to yourself.
Surrendering to myself.
Easier to surrender to yourself.
Definitely.
Now, same scenario for me. I'm not going to give my story tonight. It's not about me. I brought our guest Aaron in tonight. But, Aaron, I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I would dare say that for most of you watching, adults, if you never did surrender to God, you probably chose the easier side, surrendering to self. For those that did eventually surrender to God, then you know it was easier to keep doing what you're doing, but God laid on your heart and you finally followed Him. So, Aaron, why do you think a lot of teenagers would not surrender to God? Why would they just keep doing what they're doing?
Well, maybe they're just comfortable with what they're doing. They're enjoying the life that they have now. Maybe they don't see the destruction yet. But I feel like it's really a comfort. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone. They don't want to be uncomfortable.
I totally agree. Here's what I always say. The easier choices are probably the wrong choices.
Yeah.
The harder choices are probably the right choices.
Definitely. Yep.
And parents, here's what we're going to talk to you real quick. If you want to prepare your teenagers to surrender to God, then you've got to prepare them to make hard choices. If you always give them the easy way out, if you always make it easy for them to do easy things, then when God asks something hard of them, they're not really spiritually, mentally, in their character, prepared to make that hard choice to surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree.
So, if it was easier to follow your heart, Aaron, tell me one more time, why bother even surrendering to God then? Why do the hard thing?
Well, it's going to bring eternal fulfillment in God. And I think that's the biggest thing that I have learned from surrendering to God is that I'm seeing it now, the fulfillment I'm going to have and am having is going to be eternal and lasting. You know, my treasure is now laid in heaven eternally.
And you didn't see that as a young man, or you didn't care about that as a young man?
I don't think I cared about it. I think I thought the Lord was, you know, I was going to have eternal fulfillment in this because I thought this is what the Lord wanted me to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then I started realizing the destruction it was causing, and that temporary fulfillment was starting to slowly fade away.
And what was it that God used to bring your heart around to surrender?
It was a youth camp at Teen Extreme, Pensacola, Florida, which is now the college I go to.
Sure.
It was under Pastor Redland's preaching. He's the pastor at Campus Church on campus, and his message is every single day of the week. We're just talking about can God be trusted with your life, surrendering to the Lord and His call for your life. And by the end of the week, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where the Lord was just talking to me. I knew it was the Lord. It's just I didn't doubt it, and I never felt it before. But it was just so loud, you know, in my heart. And He said, look, I want you to do this. You're surrounded by youth. You've been counseling youth all week. This is what I want you to do for the rest of your life.
Now, I want to clarify. You were a counselor, not a camper during this time.
That's right.
As a counselor, God called a counselor to surrender, not just the camper.
That's right. Yeah, I was a counselor. And I think that was huge because as a counselor, I felt, you know, like, oh, I'm over
you. You're already doing what you needed to do.
Exactly.
This was your moment to live for God, and the rest of the year was for you.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And so, you know, that end of that week, He said, you know, I want you to do this. And so I went to the altar and surrendered my life to the ministry and told my church family about it. And then from then on, I just continued to search His will for my life.
Amen. Let's summarize real quick what we've gotten up to this point. Parents, you want your teenager to be successful in their future and their career choice. Stop telling them to follow their heart. And instead, Aaron, what should they say?
Follow God.
Follow God. If you're telling them to follow their heart, you are setting them up for failure. Jeremiah chapter 17, your heart is deceitful. It's wicked. It's horrible. It's going to take you down destruction. Do not set your children up for destruction. Teenagers, it sounds to me, Aaron, I'm going to read between the lines again. I believe you did love God. Just kind of, I mean, you're counseling at Teen Extreme. I think that you had a love for God, but I don't think your love for God was fully mature.
Absolutely.
It was kind of a shallow love. It was there. You wanted maybe to love God more, but kind of content with how much you did love God, but the love for God was there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was there, but it wasn't where it should have been.
Okay. And then through the preaching of truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God took your love and said, Aaron, this is where it's at, and this is where I want it to
be. Exactly, yep.
And then the blindness was taken from your eyes, and you said, wow, I thought I already was there, and I'm not there.
Exactly, yeah, I thought, that's exactly right. I thought I was there, and then he opened my eyes and said, you're not even close.
So if a teenager doesn't love God, it's going to be really hard for them to get to that point to surrender.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. So part of these next steps a teen should take, first of all, recognize that you're saved. Confirm that. If not, deal with that. Second of all, is to surrender. But in order to make surrender easier, now surrendering is hard no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
But to make it easier, it's easier to surrender when you love the person you're surrendering to.
Amen. Yep.
Now, a child can surrender to an authority figure in the classroom, a teacher, maybe a camp director. If that child hates that teacher or camp director, it can be done. But that surrender is going to be just pushing and begrudging and bitter. That kid's going to hate going to that class or that school or that camp because they hate the leader.
Yeah.
But when the child loves the teacher, oh, this teacher is the best teacher in the world. My camp director is awesome. And they love that person. Surrender is still hard because the camper, the child, the teen still wants to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
It's easier for them to follow authority when they love the authority.
Definitely. Yep.
Okay. It wasn't easy for you to surrender, Aaron, but you did have a love for God because you were saved.
Yes.
And because of that love for God, you were able to take, and by the way, again, let me clarify, 20 years old, already in college, already chose a career choice, not just choosing a different major, had to go to a different college to accomplish what God wanted.
Different state.
Different state. Where were you in your first college?
I was in Texas.
So back home, Texas home state.
Yep, I was comfortable in my house going back.
You were
back
actually
and forth.
Driving.
I was driving back and forth.
So many big things that had to happen.
Yep.
And yet God was able to help you bridge that gap from what I want to what God wants with the love you already had and helping you see it needed to be more.
Yep, that's right.
So teens, you got to love God. If you don't love God, it's going to be really hard for you to surrender. And when you do surrender, if you don't love God, it's going to be hypocritical at best and probably won't last very long. So part of these next steps is to love God, but not just God, but love others.
Yeah.
Now, God laid on your heart ministry.
Right.
But if you didn't love people, then that would be really hard for you to do, right?
It would be extremely hard to do if you didn't love people. I mean, they are your ministry, and, you know, you have to love them in order to have a successful ministry.
We talked about this. What is ministry?
Ministry is loving others and serving them.
Yep. Ministry is people.
Yep.
You can't have a ministry if you aren't working with people.
That's right.
Now, does someone have to, Aaron, would you say, in your opinion, does someone have to be full-time working in the church to have a ministry with people?
No. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So how could that look for someone if God led someone a different path than you, youth pastor, but God wants them to have a ministry? How might that look?
Well, I think, you know, whatever career you're in, if whoever, maybe it's like a customer comes in, you know, to whatever, maybe you're a plumber and you go to a customer's house, you know, that's your chance to connect with that person. Sure, you've got work to do, but, you know, maybe you can talk to them if they have a chance, you know, while you're working on the pipes or whatever. You know, we're always connecting with people every single day. And whatever career path you're in, you need to find opportunities the Lord gives you to connect with other people and just love them, love other people, and serve them however best you can, whatever career path it is.
I think that's great. Good. Now, we're going to skip to what I think is probably one of the most, the final of the most important steps. Just some other things that, you know, a teenager could do to prepare for their future and parents could do to direct kids. And if you're looking for more detail, I've said it before in the past, you know, seek some counseling, right? Mm-hmm. These roundtables were never designed or meant to give you everything you need to make the choices that you've got to make. That's not real. We don't have the time. This is not the format for it. So really, tonight's conversations in the past are to get you, a listener, to start thinking and asking questions that lead to maybe counseling or seeking God's word or just, you know, prayer and asking for God's direction. So one of the last things I want to mention is just don't give up.
Yeah.
When you get to the point that you've surrendered and God says, okay, Aaron, I want to call you to Florida out of Texas. I want to call you to a Bible college out of your other college. I want to call you to ministry full time from art.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that hard to do, it's hard to keep doing.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it is easy to give up when you don't see the results immediately of, you know, what the Lord wants you to do. And even financially going to college, you know, I didn't feel prepared, but, you know, the Lord, obviously, he's going to provide. If he calls you, he will provide. And so, and I knew that, but, you know, it was easy for me to say, well, maybe I should go to this college because of money. because I can afford this college and they can give me loans and things like that. But, you know, financially, I definitely, there was times where I prayed to God and said, is this where you want me to go, or do I need to just, you know, I wanted to give up, if I'm honest.
Aaron, I love Aaron. It's great because, Aaron, you are going so deep, but I want to take some things you said and go a little deeper.
Okay.
You said that it was hard. It can be hard to keep going because when you can't see God's work, can't see the fruit, can't see what's going on, that makes it even harder.
Oh, definitely.
So, Aaron, what replaces the sight for a believer?
The sight?
Faith. If we can't see it, then all that's left to us is what?
Faith. Trusting God. Trusting His provision, His faithfulness that He says He has in His Word. And seeing it from examples in the Bible. You know.
And so this goes back to what we said earlier. If you aren't confirmed in your salvation, it's going to be really hard to have faith through hard times.
That's right.
If you haven't surrendered to God out of love, it's going to be hard to have faith through hard times.
Yep.
If you don't love others, it's going to be hard to have faith when they're the ones giving you the hard times.
That's right. Yep.
So that's why we kind of started with what we did to get to this final part of don't give up.
Yeah.
It's not don't give up and then do the other things.
Yeah.
It's the other things first.
Then.
And then makes the not giving up actually not only practical but possible.
Yep, definitely. Definitely possible. And
have there been some things, Aaron, in the last 2 years where you really wanted to give up, seriously considered giving up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially...
Do you mind being a little honest with us and maybe giving us one or two of those stories?
Yeah. Definitely whenever I first entered college, when I first got there, dropped off my stuff in the dorm, and I was just kind of walking around campus, you know, and I was homesick, missing my family, things like that. You know, I was like... I got to a point to where I almost packed up and went home.
And that was that first day?
That was that first day of college.
You almost went home the first day?
I almost went home the first day.
Oh, wow.
And I was just praying to God and saying, God, I don't know, you know, because I didn't know anybody. You know, it was just all new to me. And I said, God, I don't know. And then just through situations, he showed me, yes, this is what I want you to do. Stay.
Was there another time where you wanted to give up as well after that initial?
When I got my last bill and I looked at my last college bill and then I looked at my bank account and I said, oh, no, I said, I don't know if I can do this. And then, you know, there I almost did, but I kept praying to God and said, God, I'm going to trust you because I know you called me here and I'm going to trust your provision and your faithfulness. Sure enough, there's a couple of days later he provided.
Amen.
So,
you know, your story's dealt with two of the biggest reasons why I think people give up. Number one, relationships or lack of connection. You were away from home. You were away from your comfort. You're away from your friends. You were alone.
Yep.
And a lot of people give up when they feel alone.
Yeah.
Number two, financial.
Yeah.
And a lot of people give up when finances don't go their way.
Yeah.
And I love how your stories just fit, I think, what is practical for most people.
Yeah.
And a lot of young adults, a lot of teenagers, a lot of 20-year-olds, they're not going to want to even try to go to a new place, college, state, because they don't want to feel uncomfortable and feel alone. And when they get there, they want to give up because they're not surrounded by friends.
Yeah.
And the second reason is, wow, the money's not there. It's too expensive. God's not giving the money to me up front and before the bill. I was expecting it all to be here, so I'm just going to give up. Yeah. And yet you've shown that God has God connected you with people at college, and now you have friends.
I've got, lifelong friends.
Now you're looking forward to going back. You're not going back to, man, I don't have anyone I know over there now.
Exactly. I'm definitely going back to people that I know and love now.
And I'm assuming that bill from your first year has been paid. It's still not unpaid at this point.
Yep, my first four bills have been paid.
And God has done all of that after the fact. He didn't do it beforehand necessarily. Yep. He made you rely on Him, and then He took care of the problem.
And He took care of it.
You know, I believe that when we follow God's will, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, Romans chapter 8.
Yep.
And Aaron, that's one of the greatest things for following God's choice for our lives. Because when you follow your own choice, you truly are alone.
Truly. Yes.
God's not going to promise to do anything for you when you're rebelling against Him, not following Him.
Yeah.
But when you follow God's choice, whether that career choice is ministry or otherwise, whether it's a Christian college or otherwise, when you do what God wants and surrender to Him, God says, now I'm involved. And now I will take part in making sure that your story is one of success.
Amen. Yep.
Okay. Let's kind of move from there. These were just kind of universal things that we talked about. Like really every Christian at 16, 18, 20 years old should be dealing with, should be already confronting and answering. Mm-hmm. And that is salvation, surrender, love for God, faith, not giving up, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that verse, not giving up, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. as unto a faithful creator. It implies the idea that they're trusting God, who's already proven his faithfulness, knowing he's in control in spite of the trials and the difficulties that we're going through. Give our souls, give our spirits, give our needs and our sufferings to God and let him deal with those.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. Now, after we've done that, and let's say you've surrendered, you love God, you love people, you're willing to have faith. All right, now, where do we go from here? How do we know that a college is the college God wants? How do we know that this is the career God wants? How do we know that these are the friends and even the people I should date? How do we know those things? I think we're now getting into more of a specific to the individual search for God's will, right? As opposed to the first part of our conversation was pretty much our advice could be for anyone, 60 years old, 16 years old, didn't matter, man, woman, full-time ministry or not. Now, once you've done those things, you have to start deciding what does your story look like specifically, individually. And you might call it the specific will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, one of the things that you did, Aaron, after you started recognizing, okay, in Teen Extreme, God convicted your heart. What were some of the things you started doing almost initially to seek out? God, is Pensacola Christian College the one for me? God, is youth ministry the one for me? What did you do?
I definitely started by praying, and I was just looking around at colleges, and it was just a matter of looking at these colleges. And what I did was I specifically looked at a college and said, okay, God, I'm going to pray about this college. Prayed about it. He didn't give me peace about it. So I moved on, and long story short, I continued to move on to different colleges, and I didn't have a peace about any of them, whether it was doctrinally or something like that, which is what I was looking for. I was looking for a college that I knew I could trust, that would teach the Word of God accurately. That's what I wanted. And he kept bringing me back to Pensacola. He said, you know, you've gone to youth camp. You've helped at youth camp. You know, you've gone there 5 years. I went there my whole high school. He said, you know the campus. He said, you know, and it's not an expensive college compared to these others. So he said, you know, this is where I want you. And he just kept pulling me back to Pensacola. It was always in the back of my mind. And I know that was God pulling it, you know.
Amen. So, let's clarify. This is not a push tonight for Pensacola Christian College.
No, not at all.
I love Pensacola Christian College. Aaron goes there. I'm sure you love it. Yes. But that's not the purpose of this. That just happens to be Aaron's story. There are other good colleges out there, other good Christian colleges out there. So please don't misunderstand what's taking place tonight. But, Aaron, you said you prayed. And if God didn't give you peace, then you moved on and prayed again.
Yes.
I think that's great. I think that one of the first things we can do when searching for God's will in our life, I think, is search Scripture. There are some things that God does give us direction on when it comes to Scripture, as far as dating, marriage. I just said to you the other night, Aaron, I said the most important decision you will ever make is to be saved. I said the second most important decision is what?
Is to find a wife.
Well, I didn't say to go find a wife, but I said it's going to be who you're going to marry, if you're going to get married. Not everyone gets married. And it's not like to make that second decision, you have to be married.
Right.
But the second most important decision you're going to make is if and who you're going to be married to.
Yes.
And so many young men and women, they don't really make that decision prayerfully. Oh, that person's pretty. I'm attracted to them. They're good looking. They're strong. You know, they're very authoritative. They handle themselves well. And so I'm gonna date this person. Now we're emotionally on cloud nine, and you know, we fell in love. So the natural next step is marriage. And now you're in a marriage, only to find out 2 years later or less. I've heard of many marriages where the honeymoon is over before the honeymoon is over, and now you're stuck in that marriage, and that's how you feel. You feel stuck.
Yeah.
And Aaron, when we begin to recognize that big life decisions require prayer and peace and some other things we're going to talk about, it applies not just to what college I should go to. It applies to relationships. And so much of our life will be happier when we handle these big decisions in a biblical way.
Yes.
But the Bible actually gives us some answers we don't even have to pray about. For example, Aaron, let's say that you met a young lady, and you haven't in this sense. But let's say you met a young lady. She's unsaved. She's pretty. She laughs at all your jokes. You guys get along together. She likes art. You like art. But she's not saved, not going to church. Do you need to pray about that relationship?
I don't think so.
And why don't you think so?
Because she's not saved, and the Bible says to not be unequally yoked with
an
unbeliever.
That's right. The Bible does say, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So why would we pray, God, as if the person I should marry, when God's word has already told us, no, that's not the person you should marry.
Yeah.
So I think that there are some things that God answers in Scripture, even today, 20th century, for your life specifically, right now, that there's no need to pray for. But once we maybe address those areas, and let's say, you know, God doesn't say, you know, what college you should go to in Scripture or what you should do as a career choice. So you can't really search Scripture for those specific answers. The next step is to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, would you say, you know, pray once? You didn't pray once. What did you do?
No, not at all. I prayed for each individual college that I searched and
How many
and
did you
at.
Search? I'm curious.
It was at least six.
Yeah.
At least six around my area. And then I went out of state. And Pensacola was the only one that was out of state that I had peace about. So, yeah.
So you kept praying until what happened?
Until God said, "This is the one I want."
I love it. You kept praying until God gave you an answer.
Right.
You know, sometimes
right.
people pray one time, God doesn't give them the answer that they're looking for, so they just walk away and say, "Well, if God's not going to give me the answer, I'll just do what I want."
Yeah.
But I love it, man. You kept praying until God finally said, "Aaron, this is what I want."
Yep. And He will. He will. You just have to trust Him and keep asking.
Did that require a little faith as well? As you kept praying, God said no.
Definitely.
Okay, here, no. Okay, here, no.
Yeah, because it was getting down to the wire to where, you know, I had to sign up for classes and start my my application. And, you know, so I was starting to get a little. And then I had to also take the entrance exam and get a date for that and everything. So it was definitely, yeah.
Okay. Sure. You know, we talked about surrendering to God earlier, and I want to kind of briefly deal on that again. That as we're praying, can we pray confidently if we haven't submitted to God, I'm willing to go wherever you want, do whatever you want, and be whatever you want? Do you think our prayer is really going to be effective if we haven't done that first?
No, not at all.
And so I think that's another problem is a lot of people have skipped those first next steps and just jumped to prayer.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't confirmed their salvation. They haven't surrendered to God. They don't really love God like they should. They don't have the faith to not give up, and now they're just praying, and God's not answering them, and they're wondering why.
Yeah, they kind of expect God to give them something when they haven't even given Him anything.
I love that. Say that again.
They kind of expect God to give them something when they haven't even given God anything yet.
Wow. You could drop the mic and walk away right now, Aaron. That's awesome. Yeah, don't actually do that. my sound guy's back there. Like, no, don't drop the mic. They're giving us problems already, man. Let's not make it worse.
Right.
I love that. So if you're expecting God to give you something, direction, to care for your finances, whatever, give Him something first. Give Him something to work with.
Yeah.
Submit your will to Him.
Yeah.
In the book of Acts, Christ, before he ascended to heaven, He said, go into all the world, not just your area. Isn't that interesting how God said, nope, to all the colleges where?
Yeah.
In Texas.
In Texas.
God didn't want to in Texas. Now, I like Texas. I have never lived there, but I like what I know about Texas.
Yes, yeah.
And just the way you guys do things. I wouldn't mind if God ever had me in Texas someday. But it's interesting how God took you out of Texas somewhere else. And I don't know His reasons. Do you know His reasons?
I think it was because He wanted to get me out of my comfort zone. And that kind of helped me with my faith as I was in college. That was kind of the first step to stepping out of my comfort zone.
How hard was that for your parents, by the way? Your decisions don't just affect you, did they? They affect your mom and your dad.
You know, and that's another thing. Like, I really appreciate my parents and the parents that the Lord has given me because they were supportive in no matter what it was, even if it was out of state, even if it would have been in another country, they would have said,
"Wow,
if it's what the Lord wants, we're going to support you." And sure, it was hard leaving, you know, but... You know, I was just being able to continue to call my mom and stuff like that. My parents was good, but they were a huge support in that. And I'm sure it was hard for them. They just didn't really show it.
You remember the prophet Isaiah, Aaron, and what he told the Lord when God was saying, look, I've got a need in Israel. Who am I going to send to the Israelites to give my prophecy? Do you remember what Isaiah's response was in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8? Oh, sorry, 6, verse 8. God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? What did Isaiah say? Here am I.
Send me.
Send me. Here am I. Send me. If you aren't really interested in doing what God wants, why are you asking Him what He wants? If you aren't interested in going where God wants, why are you asking Him where you should go? If you aren't interested in being what God wants, why are you asking Him what you should be? And so we're going to say it again. If you haven't yet surrendered, your prayers are probably going to be kind of wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender first to God. I'll go where you want, do what you want, and be what you want. And then I think, and then I know, God will start directing you.
Yeah, and then I think at that point you can start to pray and ask God for provision because you've given Him, you've surrendered your life to Him. So He, as a faithful God, will acknowledge your prayers.
Now, there's another area that I'd like to deal with. We've actually had a couple of roundtables on this discussion. That is counsel. And teenagers, Aaron, why do you think it is teenagers don't want counsel from their parents, from their youth pastor? I'm not saying all. It is, I think, a you know, we'll talk about epidemics. the epidemic of pride in teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, aside from pride, I think pride's obviously one answer. What other than pride, what is keeping a teenager from asking their parents for advice, asking their pastor, their youth pastor, for advice?
Maybe it's just nerves. Maybe it's just they don't really want to, again, get out of their comfort zone. They don't want
to. Because they might be afraid of what the advice might be.
Yeah, they might be afraid of where the advice might lead them or where they feel like they should go after the advice, something of that sort.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what else I think? I don't think people are going to get advice from those they're not connected with. Mm. Parents, if you want your teens to seek for your counsel, then you should have already laid a foundation of connection with them. Because if that teen, Aaron, you're closer to your teen years than I am by about 14 years, so you'll have a better memory than I do. But I do remember that adults in my life, parents or otherwise, that I didn't respect, I wasn't asking advice from them.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that is huge. Respect and acknowledgement of the authority they have is huge.
Which I think answers the big perplexing question of why do teenagers get advice from other teenagers? Because other teenagers, they're clueless.
Yeah.
They haven't gone to college. They haven't been married. And yet teenagers will ask other teens for advice. Why will they do that?
I think because they're around the same age.
I think so. But I also think because they're connected with those teens.
Yeah.
And because they respect each other, whether that respect is justified or not, teens often respect other teens who are their friends. And so they're going to get advice from people they respect, which are, unfortunately, teens who don't know anything.
Yeah.
And that's why they're getting all bad advice.
Right.
So adults, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, a grandparent, if it's driving you crazy that this 17-year-old teenager is not getting advice from you, then there is something you can and should be doing, connecting with that teenager. Because when you start connecting with that teenager, you will find they will start asking for advice.
Yeah.
Did you find that being the case in your life, Aaron?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was very connected with my church family and the church staff that were there at the camp, and I sought counsel with my youth pastor there. And
you were connected with your youth pastor?
I was connected with him, yes, I was. And I found it much easier to go and ask questions and get counsel from him because I loved him, because I respected him, because we were connected.
So don't just assume that your teenager is so prideful that they're not going to get advice from anyone. That may or may not be true, maybe partly true or mostly true, but they probably will get advice from someone, but it's going to be people they respect and are connected to. And that might kind of tell you how healthy or unhealthy your relationship is with your teenager if they never ask you for advice. All right. Now, we're going to finish up, wrap things up here, Aaron. You talked about peace. You said, so I kept praying until God finally gave me peace. Now, I would say that that may seem a little strange to people who don't really understand what that looks like.
Yeah.
What does it mean when I have peace? That means that it's something I liked finally. It's something that didn't scare me anymore, because peace does not eliminate fear.
Right.
I've known when I've had peace about something, I was still a little intimidated by what it may result in, but I had peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
So peace is not a lack of fear.
Right.
So what is peace? In your definition and what you experienced when God finally said, this is the college for you, this is the career choice for you, how did that look for you?
It was a peace that I knew that Pensacola had good doctrine, and so that was just kind of a starting. And then I didn't understand it. I didn't, know why he wanted me to go out of state. But it was a peace I had where God said, look, I want you to go here. And the way I knew that was just because I had sought counsel for it, and I knew that it was a college that he had placed in my life for 5 years. So I felt like he was kind of preparing me for that, that moment when he said, I want you to go here. And I think it was just a peace, as his word says, that passed my understanding.
Yeah. In fact, Philippians chapter 4, mm-hmm. verse 7 says that, right?
Yep.
The peace that of God which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I think of peace, Aaron, I don't think of necessarily an emotional.
Yeah.
Lack of anxiety, you might say, because someone could have peace with God and still struggle with emotions, including anxiety.
Right.
So I believe the peace we're talking about in Scripture in Philippians 4:7 and other places is a spiritual peace.
Yeah.
So you're no longer at odds with your God.
Right.
Yes, there still may be some anxiety, especially if you are an anxious person.
Yeah.
Especially if you struggle with mental anxiety, emotional anxiety. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that the peace God gives you will wipe all that away, because there's still we are still who we are. But it is the peace where I'm no longer the enemy of God. I'm not fighting with God on this.
Yeah.
That I know that this decision, I know that when I make this decision, I have reconnected with my God.
Yeah, that's very true. That you took the words out of my mouth.
So when you made that decision, it didn't erase the anxiety. You were still anxious first day.
Oh, for sure. I was still anxious, you know, because I had to sign up for classes and stuff and still take the exam. And you know, funny story, the exam, and another reason I knew it was the Lord was because the exam, they had it the week after, and it was in my town, my hometown.
Really?
And all I had to do was drive about 20 minutes to go take it, and that was it.
Wow.
I could take it. So, you know, that was another reason God's showing me, just other little situations that kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before, when you were at your first college, and we're going to kind of end things with this, choosing art, pursuing art, did you feel that you were connected with God? Did you know that?
I thought I was, and that was because I said, because I was confident in myself that I was doing what God wanted me to do, even though I never considered praying about it or talking to him about it.
Didn't surrender,
didn't do anything. I just said, well, God gave me this talent, so I'm going
to
use it.
Now, when God used preaching to open your eyes and you recognized that was a lie, then did you feel that you were connected with God?
Oh, yes. It's a feeling that I don't think I'll ever be able to explain. It's a feeling I had never had before with me and God. It was almost like he was right there in front of me, just kind of embracing me in his arms. It's just a feeling, you know, that I can't explain.
So when you knew what true connection really was,
yeah,
comparing it to what you thought it was before, then could you see the difference?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I look back now with a bunch of regrets, you know, seeing, oh, I could have done this for God. I could have started early and been this.
Could have already been graduated in
a church possibly, you know. And so, but I definitely see the effects my choices had now. And so that kind of pushes me to go forward, making right decisions now to affect me for the better.
All right. Do you think it's possible that some teens watching right now are saying, well, I am connected with God? They're really not, but they think they are. Is that a possibility?
Yes, because I was there. I thought I was. And you don't know connection with God until you start praying and reading his word.
There you go. That's what I was going to ask you. So what do you suggest to them to find the true connection and to be able to tell the difference between one from the other?
Pray and read his word. And don't just read his word, study his word, because I think, you know, reading and studying is a completely different thing. Really comprehend what you're reading. Look at the context. Where is, you know, this person at when doing this? And it's just, it really brings the Bible to life when you do that instead of just reading it. And that's what I've learned to do after starting the ministry, because I wasn't reading my Bible like that. I was just reading it.
Mm.
And after reading it and studying it now I see the things that the Lord is speaking and how he speaks through his word, and it's a beautiful thing.
God used preaching to bring that around.
He did.
It wasn't the first time you were under preaching.
Right.
What was different between the preaching at 20 years old and the preaching that you had as a teen?
I think,
I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm just saying, what was different for you?
What was different for me at that moment in time?
Yeah, why were you responding to the preaching then
and
you didn't respond earlier?
I think it was a realization of... And it was a realization of the destruction I had caused in my life from my choices. I was looking back and saying, wow, you know, I've done all this and it's led to this.
Mm.
And I'm in these relationships. I'm with these people, you know, and I saw during that week decisions I was making for God and what impact they were having on the youth there as a counselor. And I said, okay, God, I see the fulfillment I'll have now. And this is what I want for the rest of my life.
Awesome. So what I'm gathering from what Aaron said is this. You were under preaching. You had pastors and youth pastors in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference was, Aaron, you started taking that preaching and actually looking at your life and saying, what choices am I making that match up to the preaching I'm hearing?
Yep.
You were evaluating your life through God's word as opposed to just assuming that every choice you made was good.
Right. Yeah, evaluation in my life is definitely what had happened, because his topic was surrendering your life to God. It wasn't even surrendering life to the ministry. He was just surrendering your life to God. And can he be trusted?
And you were evaluating, asking yourself if you ever did that.
And exactly.
And the answer was no. You never did that.
No. Yeah.
Whereas before, as a young man, surely you heard messages about that, but you never really applied it to your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
How many teenagers do you think are listening right now and not even applying anything we're saying tonight?
Yeah, I would fear a lot.
And how many do you think go to youth groups and don't listen to or apply the message to their lives?
Probably the majority of them.
And so, in the end, the choice has to be whose?
God's.
Well, yes, but for the...
And yours.
And yours. Has to be theirs, right? I mean, God has to obviously choose them, and he does, but it has to be the choice of the individual teenager to say, I want to start taking what I'm hearing and apply it to my life.
Definitely, it's going to take swallowing your pride and humbling yourself before God to do it.
Now, that doesn't just apply to teenagers, though, does it, Aaron?
Not at all. No, it applies to any age group.
Any age group. And parents, if you want your teens to do that, one of the best things you can do is show them how it looks. Mm-hmm. And we're going to end with that. I hope that you guys have a great night. And, Aaron, this is your last time together with us. You're heading home on Tuesday. We're going to miss you, bud.
Yeah.
If you're ever in New England, we hope you'll stop by and see us.
Oh, definitely. I will be over here for
good.
Sure.
Yes. Next Sunday night, I'm going to continue this series on our roundtable discussion of next steps. My guest speaker will be Pastor John Lafrenier. He's a church planter in Fairfield, Connecticut. And I'm going to be talking with Pastor John on the next steps now from college into adult life. And then we're also going to have a conversation with Pastor John about the next steps as far as full-time ministry, how that looks actually getting into the ministry and starting a church. So, Aaron, you started this three-part series for us,
right.
And Pastor John's going to finish it for us the next two times. I hope you guys can join us next Sunday night. Have a great night. We love you. Thank you.